I did was take a drink of water. I was thinking about the other, I guess last Wednesday night, sometime I was preaching on Micah 7:7. We were talking about looking to the Lord. I read somewhere the other day where somebody, this is a quote, said, looking to the Lord encouraged me in his promises. And said, my experiences teach me to look to the Lord. And said, God commands me to look. I kind of liked that. I thought I'd pass it on to you, because it certainly is a truth that we need to remember, that we need to look to the Lord always. And if you've been saved any length of time, you know by experience looking to him is the best way. And then we know that he has the answers and the help that we need. In Jeremiah chapter number 8, of course, Jeremiah, that weeping prophet, and going into captivity, and he had such a concern for his people, and they wouldn't listen to him. You know, he was put in dungeon and mistreated, and yet everything he prophesied came true about them going into bondage. Sometimes we don't like to face up to truth. Truth hurts, but I'm glad that we can hear the truth. And Jesus said, I am the truth, and said, the truth will set you free. And I say praise God for that. And I appreciate God's goodness to us. God is so good. And he has blessed us and helped us. And I appreciate that. I appreciate everyone that is here tonight. And pray God will help all of us as we get started off in this year 2012. And God may encourage and strengthen our hearts together in these things. Now there's a whole lot said in Jeremiah chapter number 8. But I just got a phrase I want to pick up out of there, but I want to look at verse 20 just for a moment, just an introduction thing. The harvest is past, summer's ended, and we're not saved. It's quickly passing by, folk, and it'll soon be over. And I want us to be busy in the harvest field in 2012, because summer is already ended as far as we're looking at it physically in this today. It sure will realize summer was ended. And harvest is past, and we're in wintertime. One of these days, spiritually, it's going to be past. And those we win to Jesus, we must be about our Father's business and be doing that. And verse 22 says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Here, that's a good revival verse there. And there is a balm in Gilead. There is help. Thank God there is. And we need to just take advantage of it. But now my thought tonight's coming out of verse number 6. Verse number 6. Let's stand, please, while we read. Let's start back at verse 4. Just read these few verses. Moreover, thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, shall they fall, not arise? Shall he turn away and not return? Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course, as a horse rusheth into battle. And I don't know about how you feel or how you are. Feelings come and go. Better watch that word. But backslid about half a time. Maybe more than that. Talking about me. I don't know about you. Maybe I better say 99% of the time. I don't know. But here's the thing about Israel is the fact that they kept backsliding. Now, when we say backsliding, we're not talking about losing salvation. You don't lose salvation. But you sure can lose that joy. You sure can get away from where you ought to be. And that zeal that you ought to have, I ought to have, and we all have need that God help us with this. I certainly want God to help me. But verse number 6, you'll look at it with me, please. Said, I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, this is what they were saying, what have I done? That's my subject for tonight. What have I done? What have I done? Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege that we have to be in the house of God. And thank you, Lord, tonight for the choir singing and for sweet spirit of prayer. And you said my house should be called a house of prayer. And I thank you, Lord, you let us pray together. I thank you for opening the Word of God, being able to read thy precious Word. Then, Father, thinking about backsliding and being losing that joy and being away from God, I know that all of us have some difficulties with that from time to time. So I pray you'd help all of us in these days as we look forward to Jubilee, that we'll let you have your way in our hearts and in our lives, that we may be stirred up and have revival. And Lord, we don't pray for just Jubilee, just good shouting services. We pray, God, for a real move of God. I pray for the Holy Spirit of God to do a real convicting power. There'd be something said and done in that would be so real, and the presence of God be so real, and that breath from another world be so real, that, Lord, we may worship in spirit and truth, and that it may challenge our hearts and encourage hearts and lives. And even tonight, there are those here that need encouragement. They need strength. They need that touch of God tonight, and I pray for them. I pray for some that's not able to come tonight, that you'd help them. And you know what they need, where they are, so I pray for them. Then ask tonight, God, now that you touch us to preach, for just a few moments we need you. And I confess to you, Lord, that I can do nothing without you. I realize we wrestle not against flesh and blood, so I pray for that power of God, the Holy Spirit, to work in this service in a special way. We'll give you all the glory and all the honor and praise for what you do. Plead Jesus, plead the blood, and confess the devil defeated. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach just for a few minutes on what have I done. And I've probably got more points than I'll get tonight, but I want to, on Wednesday nights, we have young people come earlier, and so we try to hold it with them. But when God gets in it, we sometimes go longer than others, but let that be as it may. I want to obey God and do what God said. And I'm thinking about, what have I done? You ever heard anybody say that? What have I done? You mothers and dads, you're getting on your children, and they'll look at you and say, what did I do? And like they didn't do a thing, you know. You might have watched them from one room into the other do it. And run in there and say, who did this? And they'll say, I don't know. And you watched them. You say, preacher, my child wouldn't lie. Uh-huh. It's 100 degrees outside, too. You believe that? I don't think so. But anyway, here we are thinking about, what have I done? And I was thinking about, you know, coming through 2011, well, even years before that, coming up to that time, and now going into the year 2012, this is just the fourth day of this new year, and what have I done? And I want to pick up on this in two places, two ways. What have I done in the past, and what am I going to do? What's my goals? Now, I said the other night, I didn't set too many resolutions, say too much about that, because I wind up breaking them. But that don't mean you ought not set some goals. That don't mean you ought not have some ambition in your heart and in your life that you're going to try to do better. Amen? If we don't ever try to do better, we'll never do better. But if we do try to do better, God will give us grace to do better, and we can do better. I'm not preaching a do-so salvation to get saved, but I'm preaching a do-so salvation. I do so because you are saved and are born in the family of God. And I think I touched on that Sunday. But here we are with Jeremiah, and identify a lot with him as he wept for his people. And certainly our hearts, and I was sharing someone recently that my heart cries for people. I want to help them. Never hurt them, but help them. And people that's got their hearts right with God, they'll let you help them. And they'll listen when you have something to say. And I appreciate that with all my heart, when people will listen and come. But it breaks your heart when people won't listen, and you see it coming. You know what's going to happen. And it's so real because the Bible tells us how sin is. Sin will find you out. Be sure your sin will find you out. And God's not mocked. And so you can rest assured of that. But let's just look back a minute at the year 2011 and ask this question. What have we done with Jesus Christ? What have we done with him? Now, if you're not saved, I want to ask you, what have you done with him? And I can tell you what you've done with him if you're not saved. You have rejected him. Because if you're not saved, you either reject him or receive him. And you can't be neutral on Jesus. That's all there is to it. Pilate said, what shall I then do with Jesus, which is called Christ? What shall I then do? And he tried to wash him off his hands. He tried to get rid of him by sending him to Caesar. He tried every way he could to get rid of him off his hands, but he couldn't do it. And you can't either. You have to do something with Jesus Christ. And if you don't receive him, you reject him. If you're not for him, you're against him. And so if you wasn't saved in 2011, I pray that 2012, if you've not gotten saved yet in 2012, that this will be your year to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. What are you going to do with him anyhow? You're confronted with him, and you're going to have to do something with him. And some people keep trying to say, I don't have to do anything with him. Oh, yes, you do. You have to do something with it. You don't have a choice about it, what you do or don't have. You have a choice what you do with him, but you don't have a choice of whether or not he's on your hands and confronted with him. And it's like a police pulling you over. I thought about you, Ben. I'll tell you about that later. We're not getting that tonight. Your assistant pastor trying to outrun the police. There's more to that story. You asked Ben about it. Ain't more to it than that. But anyway, he didn't get a ticket. I think the police got ashamed. Didn't get the ticket. Anyhow, something happened. But police stopped you. And you can't help the police stopped you. And he writes you out a ticket. You can tire it up, throw it in the trash. You can burn it up. You can do whatever you want to with it. But it's on record down at the courthouse. And he'll be there. And they'll come looking for you sooner or later. And they'll get your attention, amen. That's how Jesus is. He is confront. You're confronted with him, and whatever you do with him, you're going to answer for, amen. And you'll have to answer. I'm glad this side of eternity, I've already bowed, already gave my heart to Christ. I know I belong to him. He knows me. I know him. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to live forever. And I say hallelujah and praise God. I've got a better place to go to, amen. And I rejoice in that. But if you're not saved, and you hear me well tonight, and there's some here not saved, you hear me well, if you're not saved, and you die in that condition, you cannot go to heaven. You'll have to go to hell. And that's a sad situation to think about. But it's just as real as heaven is. Hell's just as real. In fact is, Jesus had more to say about hell than he did about heaven. And he warned people not to go there. And I believe I'd be a poor preacher, a sorry piece of humanity, if I did not warn people not to go to hell. If you saw a house burning up and you knew there was people in that house and you didn't stop and try to help them, you'd be a sorry piece of humanity. Now, you might not be able to get in the house, maybe burn so bad you couldn't, but you'd holler and try to knock the window out, do something, try to help them. If you didn't, if you just turned your head and just drove on by, you didn't care. That brings me something else I want to say about what have we done with Jesus in 2011, us that are saved. Now, he's on our hands, too. We got to do something with him, and we either share him or we don't share him. We either tell others about him or we don't tell others about him. And I have to admit, there's been times I fail to tell it like I should tell it. Amen? I think we're all in the same boat with that. There's times that you just miss opportunities. Been times I missed opportunities and then got away from it and thought about it. I missed that opportunity. I should have done this. I should have let them attract. I should have said something. And for some reason, I was in a hurry or something was going on around me and I missed it. And I know I do that. I believe all of us do that at times. Now, let me insert this real quickly. I realize the fact that unless the Holy Spirit is in our witnessing, it won't get the job done anyway. But we can always leave a track. We can always say a word and invite them to church or do something. Now, everybody is not always ready for you to win them to Christ right there. And sometimes we actually do more damage than we do good if we're not careful. But we can in a loving way. By the way, if you don't get people's respect, you're not going to win them to God anyhow. They got to respect you. And if you're not a gentleman and a lady by trying to witness to them in that way, most lost people will respect you anyway and give you an opportunity to say something to them. They may not want the track. They may not want to hear what you got to say. They may not care a thing in the world about coming to Gateway Baptist Church. But I believe they will listen if you'll be respectful and do it in the right way. And just may I leave this with you. May I invite you to church with me sometime. And just tell them where it is or give them a track. They've got the directions on it. That kind of thing. But what did we do in 2011? I thank God for those who got saved. Looking to hear my right. I told Seth a while ago, he'd like to drove me crazy before he got saved. I thought we were going to have to get him down and beat him a time or two. Say, get the gospel in here, boy. I know that wasn't the way to do it, but everybody kept praying, kept loving him. And one day he gave his heart to Christ and got saved. Amen. There's some others I'm looking for. There's somebody on my heart that I pray for every day. I look to get saved and get right with God, get where he needs to be. Whatever it is he needs, I want to see God get him there. And you say, preacher, you got to listen. There's somebody in this house tonight. I'd love to get to Jesus. But I know Jesus has to send the Holy Spirit to do a work to get him there. But my heart cries for him because I want to see him saved. I want to see him saved more than I want to see anything else. Amen. I said we're going to preach a few minutes, but I'm getting kind of wound up right here right now. I want to see people get saved and born in the family of God. I love to come to church, love to have Jubilee, love all that. But I tell you, I'd rather see somebody walk down the aisle, come and give their heart to Jesus, get on an old-fashioned altar and cry to God than I would have shouting all over the house. Might be some shouting when they get through giving their heart to Jesus, but I mean, I want to see God do a work in the heart and a deep work and a convicting work and a drawing work and a power of God at work. Amen? Amen. So praise God. What have we done with Jesus? Now, what are we going to do with him in 2012? If you're not saved, accept him. Amen. You say, preacher, what must I do? You must repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, and God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's what the Word of God says. So, but preacher, I'm embarrassed, I'm bashful, I'm this, I'm that. Listen, you just let God help you. Amen. If he was willing to go to Calvary's cross and die in shame for your sin, we certainly ought to be willing to walk down an aisle and bow an altar and thank him and ask him to come in our hearts and save us by his marvelous grace. Amen? And in 2012, we that are saved are determined by the grace of God. We're going to do our best to try to be witnesses and try to get people to church and try to help people. Amen? And trying to, you say, but people won't listen anymore. Well, just keep on. You'll find somebody. There'll be somebody somewhere. If you talk to enough people, there'll be somebody. Fact is, if you really pray about it and ask God to help you with it, he'll get somebody in your path somewhere along the way that is needing somebody. Some people out here are hurting. They need somebody just to come alongside them and say, I love you, I care for you. Or maybe some of you don't know, so you might not go at that language with them, but could I be of any help to you? Could I? You need to talk to somebody or somebody's in a bad situation and you happen to get involved in that some way, somehow, I say God does that, amen? And we can be a help and a blessing to others if we'll let God help us. I say hallelujah. Let's think about the Holy Spirit of God. What have we done with the Holy Spirit this past year, 2011 and before? The Holy Spirit of God. Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Now, that don't mean that you're going to do crazy stuff. It doesn't mean that you're going to knock people in the head and knock them down and try to help them. I always wondered about that. Line enough folk up and hit them in the head hard enough, they'll fall down. But, I won't get into that because I get off on another story. But anyway, I'm saying to you tonight, what we need is a real work of the Holy Spirit of God to fill our hearts. And when you're filled with the Spirit, you know what you'll do? You'll be a witness. That's what being filled with the Spirit is for. is empower us so that we may be witnesses unto the Lord Jesus Christ. What did you do in 2011 with the Holy Spirit? Did you let him fill you? Did you let him have his way in your heart? Did you let him lead you, guide you, direct you? Did you let him, as you daily prayed, guide your life and help you as you go start your day off? What did you do with the Holy Spirit of God? What did I do with him? We all need to ask the question, what are we going to do with him in 2012? I pray that we'll let him lead us and guide. I've been preaching, and I got on this, and I'm getting wound up again. I said I don't want to, but I do want to too. This thing about coming to church and just being in church, and I just got to church and I did my thing. I did my duty. I'm at church. That's well and good. I'm going to go home now and do my thing and forget church. That's no good. That's no good. We come to church to worship God. We come to church to let the Holy Spirit of God do his work in our hearts. If he wants you to cry, cry. If he wants you to shout, shout. If he wants you to raise your hand, raise your hand. If he wants you to get on the altar and pray for people, then get on the altar and pray for people. Whatever it is, I want us to obey the Holy Spirit of God. Wouldn't it be good if everybody come to church filled with the Spirit of God? Wouldn't that be something? Hallelujah. It wouldn't be somebody saying, look what they got on. They didn't match up. Where is that girl? Jordan. She's kidding with me, something I had on one day, she was looking at, and I forgot what she said to me. But anyway, ever since then, when I go by her, I say, how to look. Now, she was just kidding. She didn't mean anything by it. But some people, they really get all shook up about that stuff. Hey, man, I may come in a polka-dotted tie and a striped suit, and I went to the hospital today to see my wife and had on a top coat and it buttoned up crooked. She said, did you come in here like that? I looked down. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, if I'm not there to dress you, you can't do anything. I just blundered in. But I got in anyhow. Amen. And I guess some people might have looked at me and wondered, why in the world are you buttoning? I guess they thought I was drunk. I don't know. But anyway. Well, they probably said that old man, he just can't do no better, and they felt sorry for me, and that maybe that helped me. But anyway, it doesn't make any difference. Come to the house of God, amen. We come to worship God. It's all right to dress. I think we ought to dress nice for the house of God. I think we ought to do our best we can, but the dress doesn't make the worship, amen. What makes the worship is the power of the Holy Ghost of God that works in our hearts and does something within us, and that we respond to him and let him do his thing. Amen? Aren't you glad you can worship God in spirit and in truth? Jesus told that woman at the well, they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. You can't worship him in truth if you don't worship in spirit. Amen. The only way to worship God is the Holy Spirit of God, leadership and guidance and direction. And I'm glad for that. Then what you did with him, if you're not saved, you quenched him or grieved him, and well, saved people do that. You rejected him, what you did. As unsaved, you rejected the Holy Spirit of God and wouldn't let him help you. He wants to save you and birth you in the family of God if you'd only listen to him. But us that are saved, we have grieved him and quenched him and all these other things. But I don't want to do that either, do you? 2012. Listen, Gateway. We've heard some good things about Gateway, and I know there's some bad things about Gateway, because I'm in it, and you're in it. So that makes it pretty bad. But anyway, as far as churches go, if I didn't know anything else about this church and I walked into it, then in one service, I'd say that's a pretty good church. I'm not saying that boastfully. I'm saying that simply because God has given us good people. Well, no, none of you good. Not a one. I get myself more messes trying to preach. Now, the Bible says none's not good. None's good. No, not one. So what we've done with the Holy Spirit of God, though, we may not in our flesh be any good, but in our spirit, we ought to be so close to God, and we come in, worship God, get in the service, have a good time, let God speak to our hearts. Last Sunday, I plowed deep, turned dirt over, got some weeds out. I hope you've been hoeing this week. Amen. I have done some hoeing since I plowed up some. and got it pretty, trying to get it pretty clean, but those weeds will pop back up. Sometimes I have to plow them out again. Sometimes I have to get a hold and go at it again. Amen. But what I'm trying to say to you is the Holy Spirit of God is our comforter too. He's not only the one that helps us and leads us and guides us, directs us, strengthens us, empowers us, but he's our comforter. He'll comfort us if we'll let him. Brother Joe, he's the best comfort we've got. Sister Margaret, he's the best comfort we have. Is he the Holy Spirit? He said, I'll send you another comforter when I go away. So he did. Talking about the Spirit in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I say hallelujah for the fruit of the Spirit. Now let me say this and I'm going to close. The Bible. What have we done with the Bible? 2 Timothy 2:15, study, show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Psalms 1 and following, blessed are they that walk, forget verse 1, go to verse 2. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that bring forth his fruit in his due season. His leaves shall not fade, neither and bring fruit, and his leaves shall not fade away. Something to that effect. That's stewardology. That's close. I don't know why I can't quote that. I know it well. Same way I couldn't button my coat up this morning. Blessed are they that walk not in the counsel of ungodly and stand in the way of sinners and sit in the seat of the scornful. That's verse 1. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in this law doth he meditate day and night. And his leaves shall not wither, neither and what? Fruit, bring forth fruit in season, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Somewhere real close. You ever seen a tree by waters and the root goes down deep, taps into it, and it's greener than that tree all over away from the water because it's not close enough to water? I want to be so close to water that I can bear some fruit, have some green leaves. God can use me. I remember somebody preached a message here one watch night service on the tree that the husbandman wanted to dig it up because it wasn't bearing fruit. And the servant said, let's leave it one more year. Let's let me dig around it and dung it. One more year, see what it does. We've got 2012, another year, until Jesus comes, 2012. If he doesn't come in 2012, we'll get to 2013. But let's do our best to bear fruit, do what God have us to do. What are we going to do with Jesus? What are we going to do with the Holy Spirit? What are we going to do with the Word of God? Read it, study it, show yourself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for this precious Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for he, the Holy Spirit, that is our leader and our guide. Thank you this night that we can come together and worship. Father, maybe some here tonight that their hearts have been touched. Maybe somebody here tonight needs to get saved and born in the family of God. I pray they'll come and trust Christ. Thank you for all you do for us in Jesus' name. Amen.